Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Time to feed you some more football. 8 days away from the NFL Draft of 2024. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, joining us now to talk about what's happening within the division, the AFC North. Of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who've had the Ravens' number here as of late. He's with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's on the Maryland Sports Commission fan hotline. Let's welcome back to the show Brian Bacco. Brian, good afternoon. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, at first I thought you were announcing that I'm on the Maryland Sports Commission, and I was like, whoa, I never got anything in the mail about this. I'm going to have to call my agent and see what's going on.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you to hook me up with a little club stuff for the Preakness coming up here in about a month or so. But with the Steelers offseason, interesting like most teams, and they redid the quarterback room, as we know. Russell Wilson, Justin Fields coming in. Of the two that were acquired, which acquisition surprised you the most?
And I'd probably say, it's tough, I'd probably say Fields because of what it took to get there, fellas. I mean, it was probably a move that they had in mind as a potential trade, but didn't really, the need wasn't there until Kenny Pickett reacted the way he did to the Russell Wilson signing, and that's what opened up the Fields avenue. So I give Omar Khan credit for staying light on his feet with that whole backup quarterback situation. And, you know, nobody really anticipated them targeting Russell Wilson either, but I get that one from the monetary standpoint. I'll say Fields slightly more surprising because it was going to take two teams to make that work, and we know there were probably some other teams sniffing around as well.
Hey, Brian, how many of the Steeler guys have shown up for the offseason program this week?
I don't have a great number for you. I mean, they've posted some stuff on social media, but, you know, us beat reporters haven't been invited down yet. I know Wilson's there. I know Fields is there. George Pickens is there. Pat Freiermuth is there. So the QBs and, you know, their top targets, can't help having them in town a little bit early to get started because that chemistry is going to be key to getting this passing game going under new offensive coordinator Arthur Smith.
Now, do you think with Cordarrelle Patterson, was that, do you think Danny Smith wanted it because of the new rules, or Arthur knows that what he can add offensively too?
I think all the above. I'd throw Mike Tomlin in there probably as somebody who, you know, he's a football junkie and he's always kind of looking for that little winning edge. He's on the competition committee, so I think once he saw the tea leaves pointing in the direction of this new kickoff rule, he was probably all about trying to pull one over on the other 31 teams by bringing in arguably the best to ever do it, even though he's now 33. it can't hurt that Danny Smith has been around a long time too, and it's probably sunk his teeth into the possibilities there. And it definitely can't hurt that Arthur Smith got that familiarity with using Patterson as an offensive piece too, even if I'm not sure how many touches are going to be there for him on that side of the ball in Pittsburgh.
What would your crystal ball say, like, after five games of the regular season, who's the quarterback?
After five, I'd still say Russell Wilson, but I'm a little bit lukewarm on him in general. I mean, I know the numbers look pretty good from his last season in Denver, but then you start talking to some people who cover the Broncos or paid a lot of attention to the Broncos, and they don't paint as pretty a picture, and you just get to the bottom line of the business and Sean Payton and company paying him all that money just to not play for their team. So that makes you wonder too. I just feel like the distillation of Wilson at this point of his career is he used to use that mobility to offset the lack of size. As you get older, you start to lose some of that athleticism. Now you got to do different things or more things to compensate for being a 5'10", 5'11" professional quarterback. And can he use the middle of the field? Those are the things I wonder, but I don't think he'll have a five-game leash. I don't think it'll be that short, but it wouldn't shock me if Justin Fields is in there at some point this season.
Where do you think that the Steelers go in the draft?
Well, the name that's getting the most buzz lately, mainly from like the national folks, and that doesn't mean everything. Sometimes people read the visits and, they hear a thing here or hear a thing there and they start connecting dots and it aligns to some groupthink. But the guy who sort of fits that bill right now with the Steelers is Graham Barton from Duke. He was left tackle there the last three seasons, but I think the Steelers would be drafting him to play center, which he did his freshman year. He doesn't really have the tackle type length that NFL teams covet. So, and the Steelers have a major vacancy at center. So I understand, putting two and two together with him, but I certainly think it's going to be a tackle or a center, whether that's Barton or maybe a dark horse pick, Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon or Zach Frazier from the backyard here in West Virginia.
Okay, if they get a center in the first, what other needs do they need to fill? I'm guessing one of the corners probably too.
Wide receiver, I'd say, even before corner guys. They traded away Deontay Johnson to Carolina this offseason. They claimed that it was simply a football trade. I don't buy that. I think there was some drama behind the scenes with him and just everybody needed a change of scenery there.
You know what I say, when the headache is bigger than the production, you get rid of the headache.
Absolutely. And it did weaken their receiver room, no doubt about that. George Pickens is, the only guy left who did much last season other than Calvin Austin III, who was a bit player at best. They signed a couple just workman-like types, Quez Watkins and Van Jefferson. I think they're going to try to thread the needle and get a true number two who can start right away or at least contribute right away. And the beauty of this draft class is there might be 15 or 20 of those guys. If you don't get one in the second round, maybe you can even still steal one in the third, which the Steelers have done plenty in the last 5 to 10 years.
Brian Batko, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, having some NFL lunch with us here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Last year, Ravens kid Zay Flowers. 2 years ago, Linderbaum and Hamilton, Pro Bowl, all pro-level guys. How the last couple years for the Steelers, how have those draft classes kind of evolved? Who's entering a big season of the drafted guys of recent vintage here?
What's interesting, I mean, I feel like the Ravens and the Steelers are always fishing in the same pond with the type of players that they're looking for, the type of people that they're looking for too. When you talk about that football character and the pedigree, and I think both John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin are long tenured enough guys that seem to think, hey, just give us somebody with the attributes, the mental toughness, the physicality, the want to, and we'll coach them up. We'll embrace that challenge if the technique's not all there or the experience isn't there. So, I mean, for the Steelers right now, I do look back to that 2021 draft. We're going to see who gets a second contract here in Pittsburgh, whether it's Najee Harris at running back, who I think has been good but not great. Pat Freiermuth at tight end, you could probably say the same about him. Those are two who really need to step up, not just on the field, but as leaders. And then a guy that I mentioned just a minute ago in George Pickens. They've cleared the paint for him, to use a basketball analogy. I mean, he's the big dog now. Down low, there's no more Deontay Johnson in the picture. Chase Claypool was in the picture when he was drafted a couple years ago. He is the alpha now in the receiver group. Is he going to rise to that occasion? Is he going to keep his head about him? Is he going to take on a little bit of a leadership role that they want guys to do before giving a second deal? That's a big one to me, because there's always been some whispers and rumblings about Pickens and his reputation. So big opportunity for him in year three.
Brian, they've always been outstanding at drafting receivers. And when you were talking about, you know, that the Steelers like the same type of guys as the Ravens. Now, with the only thing I would say about the receivers, the character issue, they ease up a little bit in that receiver room on character, I think, when they're drafting.
Yeah, that's a very fair point. I mean, I think that Chase Claypool, I mean, he fell off. I don't know that that was one you could have predicted. I think a lot of that rookie year success went to his head. Juju Smith-Schuster gets a bad rap at times. I think he was a hard worker and somebody who wanted to win. The social media stuff got a little bit tiresome, but I don't think he, you know, was a negative impact in the locker room at all, unless there were guys who were really miffed by all the TikTok antics. Antonio Brown, yeah. That's going to be an age-old question of, did the Steelers mask that for a decade, or did they enable it and make it worse for a decade? So, you know, someday we'll have to read Mike Tomlin's book, hopefully, and get some more insight into that. But, you know, just following up on that, I think it does behoove them this year to make sure you get a guy who not only can he play, obviously that's number one, but somebody who's going to buy into, hey, I'm the number two receiver in a run-first offense with a guy in George Pickens who's freakishly talented and wants the ball a lot. I got to accept and embrace that role rather than causing any sort of trouble behind the scenes if I'm not catching 80, 85 passes for 1,000 yards.
Brian, before we let you roll, Mike Tomlin, we know his track record of success. He's going to the Hall of Fame when it's all said and done. Still fan scrutiny relating to him, because when the Ravens lost to Kansas City, a lot of people wanted John Harbaugh fired. Kind of a rite of passage every 12 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, Bob. I mean, it's not letting up whatsoever here. It's only getting worse, because even though they did find their way back into the postseason and they stunk it up in the first half against the Bills in that game, but they did fight back. They did make it a game in the second half behind Mason Rudolph. He's gone. Obviously, Kenny Pickett's gone. I think there are some anti-Tomlin fans out there worried about, hey, are we moving the goalposts for this guy? We said we'd give him a couple years to see if he can right the ship after Ben Roethlisberger. Now it's going to be, okay, see what he can do with a veteran instead of a rookie quarterback. We missed on Pickett. I do a weekly chat on the Post-Gazette every Monday. There's always questions about how much longer Tomlin's going to be able to keep this job without a playoff win. So the seat is, you know, it's still warm, at least with the fans, but the organization, we know the Steelers, they're a large ship that turns very slowly. So I don't think that Art Rooney II is getting sort of an itchy trigger finger or anything like that.
Well, I'll harken back to an old Cinderella song. You don't know what you got till it's gone. He's Brian Bacco, covers the Steelers in the NFL, obviously, for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Brian, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you after the draft.
Yeah, enjoy chatting with you guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. It's Brian Bacco, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Orioles take it on the Twins. I could have swore that was Mike Messina pitching for the Orioles there at the top of the first. Got the American League East report coming up next. And then Mike Exesa, CBSSports.com. We'll talk about the first couple of weeks of the Major League Baseball season. A couple of early surprises, good and bad.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries, so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Get to that.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
The Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, American League East Report. Let's talk about the here and the now. Through one, Orioles 1-0 over the Twins. Gunnar Henderson leads off with a 416-foot missile to right field off of Jorge Lopez. After Arbor Suarez comes up there, pumping 97, 98 on the gun. What was it, seven pitches, Nolan, as we're interviewing Brian Bacco there?
Just
the
nine.
Top of the, nine, is
they
that
get
all?
The run inning. Yeah.
So the Orioles up 1-0, top second, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. The home run ball flying out of the stadium. Orioles 27, now 28 home runs on the year, leads all of Major League Baseball. But last night in the division here, it was Cleveland taking on the Boston Red Sox. And for some reason, the Red Sox can't win at home. And last night was their latest setback.
There it is. Base hit right field. That'll score Jimenez. Here comes Jose. Abreu's throw to the plate. That's not in time.
Now you're talking.
Florial delivers with a big two-run single.
Cleveland radio on the call. 10-7 final score as the Guardians beat the Red Sox in 11 innings. And we'll get to the standings here in a second. But Boston, they stink at home. And we'll elaborate here in a couple of minutes. The Yankees, oh boy, we were ready to put the World Series crowns on their dome. Things have kind of leveled off a little bit, and up at Rogers Center, they got leveled.
The 0-1. Swinging a hard hit ground ball into center field.
Damn right.
Clement scores. Farsho racing behind him. He's in to score. Two-run single for Guerrero. 3-1 Blue Jays.
That's Blue Jays radio on the call. 5-4 was the final score. It was 5-1. Yankees chipped away, but it was not enough. Vlad Guerrero, two-run hit there. First series loss of the year for New York as they get taken down by Toronto. And also last night, Angels down at the Trop taking on the Rays. Some more free baseball there.
And a little tapper, third base side. Barehanded pick up and throw, and the Rays win it. The throw not in time. Rendon could not get it over there. Rosario beat the play, and Palacio scores the winning run. It's a 7-6 final.
Valley Sports on the call, 13 innings. Ahmed Rosario, infield hit, scores the winning run as the Rays stunned the Angels last night down in Florida, as we said. Aside from the Orioles taking on the Twins as we speak, New York's at Toronto, 3:07. Series finale there, Angels and Rays at the Trop, 6:50. And then Cleveland at Fenway taking on the Red Sox. That's a 7-10 first pitch standings in the AL East as we sit here on April the 17th. Yankees 12-6 on the year, only a half game up on the Orioles, who have won three in a row. Yankees have lost three in a row. Toronto's 10-8. They're percolating a little bit. Winners of four straight. Tampa 10-8, tied with Toronto. And then you got the Red Sox sitting at 500. So everybody's 500 or above. But Boston, remember, they started the season on that 10-game road trip where they went 7-3, 2-6 at home. I mean, common sense says you got to defend your home turf. And right now, for the Boston Red Sox, that has not been the case. Orioles right now 1-0 over Minnesota, top of the second. Looks like Miranda just doubles into the left field corner. So one out, top of the second inning. The Orioles up on a Gunnar homer against the Twins, going for the sweep. Orioles are off tomorrow, and then it's off to Kansas City, taking on the Royals, who, by the way, are still having a very good year, 11-6, game behind Cleveland in the AL Central. When we come back, more baseball talk with Mike Exisa from CBSSports.com. Then we're going to go out to one winning drive. Got a couple of clips coming your way. Derrick Henry, Roquan Smith, Tyler Linderbaum all speaking with the media. And then it is a Funhouse trip because you can't have fun without Funhouse. Nolan McGraw is coming your way later in the.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, 105.7 The Fan, Woman Crush Wednesday. You pick the songs, we'll play them. Woman Crush Wednesday, 410-583-1057 is the number. Send the request. Plot support text line. One more segment to go. Make it a good one. Orioles 1-0 over the Twins. Bottom two. Down at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, Gunnar Henderson. How about a little solo home run traveling about 416 feet? Suarez dealing big time, throwing in mid to high 90s as he's gotten through two relatively unscathed innings to give up the double to Miranda. But in for Tyler Wells, he's on the IL as he goes down with elbow inflammation yesterday. Here to talk about that and everything he has seen through the first couple of weeks of the Major League Baseball season. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, let's welcome in on the Maryland Sports Commission Fan Hotline, CBSSports.com. Let's welcome back Mike Exisa. Mike, how you doing, bud? Appreciate the time as always.
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right, man. And the Orioles right now lead the majors in homers. They just tacked one on here with Gunner, 28 on the year. Lead the American League in runs scored with 100. We knew that the offensive potential is there. Power potential certainly is up there right now. But when you watch them offensively, we'll get to the pitching in a second, but watch the Orioles offensively. Do they rival right now any team's lineup in Major League Baseball? And that includes health or no health.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think you kind of got to give the edge to the Braves there just because some of their players are a little bit more established, maybe closer to what their peak would be. But the Orioles, I mean, it's 1-9. They're great. The AAA team is ridiculous. So if they need to, you know, if they have an injury or whatever, if they just feel like making a change, they've got players ready to come up. They can improve their roster internally in a way most teams just can't. So I think their lineup right now, it's great. There's just so much youth and athleticism and power. And they just look like they're playing a different game than the other team every night. So, yeah, I think it's one of the best lineups in baseball. And, I mean, if it's not the best, it's certainly in the conversation for the top two or three.
Now, Mike, we look at the Orioles rotation. Corbin Burnes, proven commodity. Grayson Rodriguez becoming that guy. Kramer, he's acceptable. Irvin, not so much. Wells is now hurt. Suarez hasn't pitched in the majors since 17. Beans and Bradish, they're working themselves back, hopefully, from rehab stuff down in the minors. But a lot of teams could use, contending teams at that, could use pitching eventually. Eduardo Rodriguez just got placed on the 60-day IL in Arizona. Who are the possible commodities that not just the Orioles, other teams are going to be searching for as we get into trade deadline stuff, which is still a couple months away?
Yeah, you know, the big one was going to be Shane Bieber, and that's no longer an option because he had Tommy John surgery. And even, you know, you think Cleveland, they started out pretty well this year, but they do have a history of trading some of their best players, even when they're in the race. So you got to forget about Bieber now. The Marlins have been so bad that you got to think they're going to sell at the trade deadline. But then, as bad as they've been, they do have some interesting pitchers there. I mean, Jesus Luzardo, I mean, every team would love to get that guy because he's so good, so young. He's like what every team wants, a power lefty, misses bats, gets ground balls. There would be a bidding war there, and that's exactly the kind of guy the Orioles can go get. Like, they can match any offer because they have more infielders than roster spots, so there's no reason that they should be outbid there if they want him. And, you know, more guys on the Marlins, Tanner Scott, who has a history in Baltimore, he's a little bit shaky this year, but last year he was really good, and he's a rental. That's just kind of like a bullpen guy that if you're a contender and you want a hard-throwing lefty, he seems like he'll be somebody who moves. And that's kind of the problem elsewhere, because you look at some of the other really bad teams, the Nationals and the Rockies, like they don't have much pitching to trade. I don't know where the arms are going to come from at the trade deadline. They will be available. I mean, there always is. There's going to be players you don't expect to be available at the market, but there's just a shortage of pitching around the league. And I don't mean like top of the rotation guys. I just mean like competent pitchers who can give you some innings across 162 games. There's just a shortage of them right now.
Mike Exisa, CBSSports.com, talking baseball with him. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Right now, you look at the AL Central, Cleveland, Kansas City, Detroit, all above 500. Twins, they're scuffling. We're watching it happen as we speak. White Sox stink, with all due respect to White Sox fans listening. But then you got the AL West, where everybody's 500 and below. Is this something that could maintain itself over the course of the season? Granted, we're only in, what, April 17th, that the AL Central will be a better division than the AL West long term?
No, I don't see that happening. I think eventually the Rangers will kind of hit their stride, and the Astros, as bad as they've looked, their pitching has been horrible. I still have a hard time discounting them. I think eventually they'll kind of hit their stride, and maybe they're not going to be the powerhouse team we've seen the last, like, 7-8 years now, but I think they'll eventually kind of right themselves and be a pretty good team. The AL Central, I mean, it's been so weak for so long, it's kind of hard to count on this happening, and the Tigers are having a lot of trouble scoring runs. They're still winning, but their offense is not great, and the Royals, their pitching has been so good. It's been so good, you kind of can't expect it to continue to be this good. I think as a team, they have like a sub-3 ERA, and that, I don't know, I have a hard time buying that. And the Twins have been hammered by injuries, and I don't know. I don't see these teams. I mean, somebody has to win the division, obviously, but I'm not sure that's going to be a division that produces two or three postseason teams. Eventually, the AL West teams will get their act together, and the Astros do have a history of starting slow and figuring things out, so I don't see this continuing. This is like the epitome of just early season kind of just weirdness.
Hey, Mike, what's your feeling, or what are you hearing about why so many pitchers are getting hurt?
Geez, I wish I had the answer here. There's no one single reason for this. You know, the union is saying it's the pitch clock, and we certainly can't discount that. Just thinking about, you know, the pitchers have less recovery time between pitches, so they're making more pitches while fatigued, and you can hurt yourself that way. But you also see everybody throws 98, 99, 100 now with these ridiculously these breaking balls that are like literally built, designed in a lab. You know, they're the way they build these things, it's just not good for your arm. And everybody's throwing max effort all the time. There's so many factors here, and I don't know how you solve this, because the sport inherently rewards throwing hard and spinning nasty breaking balls. And you know, if you're a guy who's, you know, it's not just the star pitchers who are getting hurt. It's the guys who are kind of on the fringes of the roster, maybe trying to get their first call up. You know, if I have to throw as hard as I can to beat out this guy for a call up, you're going to do it, because it's going to change your life getting called up to the big league. So I don't know what the solution is here. I have no idea what they could do, but it's a combination of things. I think mostly the max effort pitching style we see now, that's probably the single biggest contributor, because we know velocity is bad for your elbow. We know spinning these breaking balls is bad for your elbow, but you got to do it if you want to get called up and get an opportunity. It's just the way the sport works.
Mike Exisa, CBSSports.com, talking some baseball. Mike, as always, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday, and we'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Sure thing.
You got it. Mike Exisa, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Let's go back to one winning drive. I mean, we weren't there physically, but you get the point. Had a couple of Ravens meet with the media today as the offseason workouts have begun earlier this week. Among those speaking to the media, Derrick Henry, as he's now in Baltimore after a stellar career in Tennessee. Derrick Henry was asked today what motivates him at this stage of his career.
Love playing this game, and I'm going to continue to play until, you know, I feel like this my time is up. I really want to hold that trophy up at the end of the year, but, you know, it starts, you know, right now, putting the work in and doing all those things that qualify for you to be in that position when it's that time. I don't want to get too, you know, hyped up or too, you know, overwhelmed when talking about that, but just, you know, putting the work in just so, you know, you're prepared and ready to go when the season comes and, you know, be able to play at a high level.
You know what? You got to get guys that love to play, because if they love to play and they're passionate about it, you watch all his workout videos and stuff. He loves it, and he's passionate about that too, because he knows it'll keep him around longer and help him continue to play well. So, I mean, that's a thing that a lot of teams forget about when they're drafting, is get guys that love the game and they're willing to work. I mean, Derrick Henry's here the first day of the offseason program.
And for him, the personal achievements are there. He's rushed for over 2,000 yards. He won a Heisman Trophy. The ring is the thing, and he sees this as a golden opportunity to finally get it. I mean, they made the AFC Championship game 5 years ago coming through Baltimore to do so, sadly. But here's Roquan Smith talking about the addition of Derrick Henry to the team.
Yeah, no, I think that's huge. I think it's going to make us stick to what we do. Having a guy like him, anytime you need a play with him and Lamar back there, I think it's going to be crucial. I'm excited. It's going to open up a lot for everyone. Going against the guy, I know the type of threat that he opposed to other defense. So it's going to be scary. I'm excited to see.
Well, he knows what people have to do to try to stop the guy. And he's talking about other guys are going to, you know, have a chance to do some things. That's the wide receivers and tight ends and stuff, because you got a big back, and what are you going to do? You're going to put an extra guy in the box, then, you know, you're going to get some man coverage out there, and you got Mark Andrews getting in some man coverage. So there's going to be other opportunities for other guys if Henry's running well.
And I would assume that Todd Monken would be more inclined to give him more than six carries in an AFC championship game.
Well, I think that's going to be, you know, a given how that they're going to – you're not going to go pay him if you're not going to use him.
And then finally, Tyler Linderbaum, the all-pro center for your Baltimore Ravens, was asked about the fact that, hey, there's three open spots on the O-line all of a sudden.
It's definitely different, you know, but it's a part of the business, you know. Other guys get different opportunities elsewhere. You know, it's just the next guy in mentality. You know, we got a good group of young guys, you know, that are eager to step in and show what they can do. And I'm excited, you know, to see how, you know, we build off of that.
Politically correct, everything he said. I mean, he really saying all, you know, I mean, he's not going to piss off anybody in the room. He knows who can play and who can't play. And if they bring in somebody, he'll be politically correct when he talks. But when he's talking to his buddies, he's probably saying, we need some help.
Hey, look, we talked about it earlier, Vinny. They take an offensive tackle at pick 30. That guy's starting.
No doubt.
So Ben Cleveland, Daniel Falele, Salah. I mean, there is the left guard spot that's still up for grabs, but we're already assuming that Voorhees is going to get that one. Maybe incorrectly. Orioles 1-0, top of the third there. Albert Suarez is dealing against the Twins. Orioles go for the sweep. Just tuning in, Gunnar Henderson, he leads off the game for the Orioles with a 416-foot laser beam in the right field. We'll give you another score update. Inside Access coming up here at 2 o'clock. And then we got some fun coming your way later on in the day. Keep it tuned to the Fan, because you don't know what it is. You'll find out, you know, if you don't change the station.
Work sucks. They don't. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Hope you've enjoyed Woman Crush Wednesday, where you pick the songs. Tomorrow's Total Request Thursday, which speaks for itself. You totally request the music. And then starting at 11 o'clock, get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday. Orioles 1-0 over the Twins. Bottom of the third here, Jordan Westberg, little infield single. Jackson Holliday did line one to right.
Yeah, Goodwood. Put a wall.
Goodwood. I mean, it wasn't a K. So he got a, you know, batter-friendly count. He lined it. Gunnar Henderson led off the game with a home run, 416-footer to right field. Orioles going for the sweep. Suarez is looking like old Mike Messina here, painting corners, throwing 97 miles an hour. Like, where did this guy come from? And, you know, Vinny, we talked about it off the air. Is he a long-term option for them in the rotation? Probably not, but pitches well today, gets him another opportunity. Because Tyler Wells, he's on the IL, and it doesn't look like Bradish and Means are close to coming back. Orioles could use pitching, but as we just talked about with Mike Exisa, a lot of people are going to be looking for some pitching. But as we said, Orioles have the magic beans that they could use to entice a team into possibly making a deal. The NFL draft, when we're back tomorrow, will be a week away, and we'll be counting it down. We'll be doing some mock draft stuff next week on the show. Who do I get to? I'm going to be Goodell, Nolan. Do I get to hug anybody?
Please don't. Yeah.
No, Nolan, you get to hug Nolan.
Yeah, I don't like dudes touching my stuff.
No, Nolan can be Mel.
You want to be Mel?
Right.
You got to get boisterous, like, man.
Get my hair pushed back a little bit and get real intense.
But what the Ravens do remains to be seen, which leads to the great intrigue. And of the off-season stuff, this is like the best day or the best weekend, the NFL draft.
No doubt. That first round
in particular.
I love the first round. You know, it's exciting. You know why it's exciting for people is because everybody knows the names. because there's so many quarterbacks involved. So there's a lot of intrigue with quarterbacks and these wide receivers, and that's the key positions. That's the money positions. And so it'll be good TV on Thursday night, especially, I mean, they're hoping that the Vikings trade up or the Raiders trade up or somebody trades up for a quarterback or Washington trades back, you know, just some excitement up top.
And to your point about the NFL draft real quick before we get to the funhouse, the NBA draft, ESPN's one day in it, right? First round's going to be contained by itself. Know any of these guys?
No.
No.
I knew more WNBA than I know
the
NBA.
The four-year college guy, forget it. Even like the one-and-dones are gone because the portal takes them all over the place. A lot of the European and overseas players come in. There's no Victor Wembanyama that we all knew heading into last year's draft. So there's no more familiarity with the NFL drafts. Like, oh, I remember that guy.
Yeah.
Not happening. We know this guy. He's Nolan McGraw Funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start here with a texter has a comparison. Says it's hard not to think of J.J. Hardy when you watch Jordan Westberg play. Sure thing with the glove and can get you somewhere between 25-30 homers.
And I think there's a little more athleticism in the Westberg camp than it was with J.J. Hardy, who's a hell of a player. Right now going through some litigation because he's literally building a baseball field in his backyard, much to the dismay of his neighbors.
If you build it, they will come.
Yeah, that's what they're worried about.
Jason in Eldersburg says the method in which Jackson Holliday is striking out is weirdly encouraging to me. It seems he's struggling to get his timing down at the plate. He's too good not to figure it out. I think when we're sitting around 45 or so at-bats into his career, he'll be hitting above 200.
Well, we're hoping so. And he just made hard contact, as we said, within the last 5 minutes. It wasn't out, and it's still an over in the box score. But he'll get there. It's only a matter of time. Patience will be a virtue, too, because the walks will start to come.
Yeah.
I mean, he K'd a lot, walked little down in spring training, but he was hitting. But his minor league career says that he's got a walked 100 times last year at the minor league level. He'll get there.
Another texter says, why is everyone willing to give Holliday time to work it out, but everyone wants Hayes traded or cut? Why can't he get the same time as an already established major league talent?
Well, we're not trying to cut Hay. I'm not anyway, but right now he's been lapped by Colton Cowser. Austin Hayes, I said it a couple of days ago, I'll say it again today. It's going to help them win games this year. He's just mired. This isn't a Chris Davis-level crater. He can help you win, and he will. Right now, Colton Cowser, who are you taking out of the lineup? Mullins, who's on fire. Cowser, who's just named Player of the Week. Tony Taters, for crying out loud. O'Hearn, there's no room at the end in the lineup.
Did you see him try to catch that fly ball, Bob?
Oh, O'Hearn?
Yeah.
Greasy's better at first base. He did catch it, though.
He did.
A little falling down stuff.
Tony in Perry Hall says, I kind of like Bateman not showing up. It makes it easier to get rid of him down the road. He's not team committed. Why should the Ravens be committed to him?
Yeah, they know. Maybe he had something this week or something, you know, and he's going to be here next week. As long as they show up soon.
I got one more here. Texter says, so the Suarez guy hasn't pitched in the majors since 2017. But he's touching 97 on the gun. What gives? Is he completely out of control, or is this another Elias diamond in the rough?
I think this could be a diamond in the rough, at least for this afternoon. Does he turn into Felix Bautista, who, by the way, Duquette unearthed a few years ago? I don't know about all that. Maybe he's like the guy from The Natural. What was his name? Roy Hobbs.
Yeah.
Maybe he's Eduardo Hobbs Suarez or whatever it is. But the Orioles right now, one zip, top of the four. This guy's dealing. He's rolling through this Minnesota lineup. Orioles go for the sweep. Inside Access will be taking you through the rest of the game. We're back tomorrow, hopefully talking about the Orioles getting said sweep, then talking more about the draft, which will be a week from. And then one team's going to be Cundiff from the NBA tonight. It's either going to be Atlanta or it's going to be Chicago. We'll get into that and more. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob. Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.